for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, May the 25th, 1980. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Memorial Weekend Deliverance Seminar, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Wynn Worley of Hedgewich Baptist Church is the speaker of the evening. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
You may be seated. Let me just mention, a number of people have come up and asked me where I'm going to be here, there, and yonder. And I will be quite a few places between almost every week, a different place in the country from here till the end of the year. There's a schedule posted back there if you're interested, on the back wall, if you want to take a look. If you're in the area or something, we appreciate you praying. Or if you can come to the meetings, of course, the Lord is opening up new deliverance works every week. It's really amazing what He's doing. Now, you know, there's a song we've learned to love. Some of you may know it, some of you may not. We call it the Rain Song. It's the new Bill Gaither song. I'm going to sing that just before the message. Sing something sweet before we get nasty. How's that? The turtle dove is singing the sweet song of morning. The leaves on the trees turn the silver cups up to the sky. The silent clouds up above are beginning to gather. This barren land is thirsty and so am I. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of our Father. He's saying, whosoever will come drink of the water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sins and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. The young man's eyes start to shine as he tells of his vision. And the old understand what he sees, for they've seen their own dream. With the thrill of being alive, they reach for each other. And they dance in the rain for the joy of the things that they've seen. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father. He's saying, whosoever will come drink of the water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. At the first drop of rain that you feel, you'll open the windows. Then call all the children together, throw wide the door. When the rains of the Spirit are falling, fill every vessel. For he who drinks his fill will thirst no more. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of our Father. He's saying, whosoever will come drink of the water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. We've had a long dry spell, but it's beginning to rain. Amen? I would like to mention this before we get into the message proper. I would like to... Pardon? Copies of that song? It's in the bookstores. It's sheet music. It's the Bill Gates song. It's called It's Beginning to Rain. The other song, the little chorus that we sang, was given to some people in a church over in Missouri, and they've sent us 30 more that the Lord has given their church. And this one, I Believe in the Lord, is going all over the country, and we're going to put it in the new book. And the words and music and everything will be in the new book when it comes out. We've already got permission for them to use it. And it's going to be the theme song for that New York workshop that's coming up next week. And it's going to go out all over metropolitan New York, I Believe in the Lord. And we sang it there before. And they're also singing the rain song, too. They're all excited about the rain song in New York. So God is using these songs, you know, to really be a blessing. Let's do I'm Free, honey. I'm in a singing mood. There's another song. You'll find these in Demolishing the Host of Hell, these words and music and the melody line on the song, some of these songs, if you like them. And all of our songs seem to be fight songs for some reason. I can't imagine why.
Though the host of hell prevail and the demons compass me about, and they tell me that God is against me, that He will not help me out, God in heaven will answer and save me, and the armies of heaven will battle, while the angels of darkness shall flee at the light of His majesty. Oh, the Lord is my light, oh, whom shall I fear? Oh, the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? For I'm free, free, free. Yes, I'm free, free, free. Oh, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. For Jesus has set me free. Though the host of hell prevail, and the demons compass me about, and they tell me that God is against me, that He will not help me out, God in heaven will answer and save me, and the armies of heaven will battle, while the angels of darkness shall flee at the light of His majesty. Oh, the Lord is my light, oh, whom shall I fear? Oh, the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? For I'm free, free, free. Yes, I'm free, free, free. Oh, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. For Jesus has set me free.
Would you like to do that last chorus together? It's real easy. It's mostly free. All right, here we go. Come on.
For I'm free, free, free. Yes, I'm free, free, free. Oh, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. For Jesus has set me free.
That's a real downer of a song, isn't it? Really, that depresses you, doesn't it? Well, that's what happens when you're in a deliverance church. Makes you sad, miserable, demon conscious, Satan centered. Well, that's what I keep hearing them say, you know. I haven't found it yet, but that's what they keep telling me about. Now, you know, we need to realize that though the demons can be defeated, though Satan is certainly a limited foe, his power is not unlimited, we need to realize that he can be defeated, but that we must take certain steps ourselves to protect ourselves. If we play the fool, it isn't God's fault that we fall into the snare. I want to mention to you a few things tonight about what gives the demons grounds to attack you. Because really, if you don't know why the demons are attacking you, you may have an open door and they'll just continually swarm on you and you won't know why. Let me say quickly Don't get all panicky about the demons. Sometimes people, you know, when they become aware that there is such a thing, that they are real, that they do attack Christians, and sure enough, they do get inside. And, you know, you can throw away this obsession, oppression, and possession, all these man-made distinctions. The Bible doesn't have any of those. You just have a demon. He may be a real bad one, real strong one. He may be weak, relatively weak, but nevertheless, you got one. But we need to understand that, first of all, that the demons cannot come upon you at will. Now, they would have you believe this. The Devil's Publicity Report and Committee has put it out far and wide. First of all, that there's no such thing. Well, when you read the Bible, you find out that's not so. Now, his second line of defense is, well, that's all right, there are such things, but naturally Christians can't have them. So then the Christians say, oh, isn't that nice? Well, then I don't have to worry about that. But I can't figure out what in the thunder is the matter with me. I can't get straightened out no matter what I do. But I know it's not a demon because my pastor, my Bible teacher said, under no circumstances could a Christian have one of these things. Now, the heathen in Africa and the demon worshippers in the Orient, they might possibly have a few poor things. Too bad somebody doesn't go and deliver them. But in the nice churches, you don't have any things like that. That's what you hear. But the evidence on every hand is that the demons are very busily at work, and the churches are prime target number one. However, in spite of that, I want you to understand you do not sit on the panic button. When you first find out that demons can indeed get into Christians, and that, yes, you are vulnerable in certain areas, one of the reactions some people have, they panic. They go hysterical almost. They go demon hunting. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? And they get almost paranoid, you know. And it is true. They're all around us. They're just as busy as they can be. They're watching and looking. You know they're watching you? Doesn't that make you feel good? You say, not particularly, you know. Felt better when you didn't know that, huh? They're plotting against you. They have supernatural cunning and cleverness. But let me tell you this. Isn't this good news? They still can't jump on you unless they have a reason.
Amen.
God has not permitted them to have open season. They have to have legal rights, legal grounds, in order to attack you. You say, oh, well, that's fine then. I'm all right. Not necessarily. You see, the trouble is, we have not been taught the Scriptures. Now, we've been taught parts of it, and parts that we've been taught usually are good. Part about the blood, being born again, the resurrection, virgin birth, all these marvelous things, they're all good. But many times, most Christians, most fundamental Christians, have been taught next to nothing about the grounds on which demons can attack the believer. Most of them have been taught that there's no such thing. You may have seen the book 10 Angels from Hell by David Wilkerson. I met one of those 10 Angels from Hell in San Diego a couple of years ago. She came to me for help. She'd taken a bad, bad tumble and back set. And she told me, she said, Brother Worley, I tried to tell David over and over, David, I still have demons. I know I do. And he said, no, no, no. And he called her name and said, you don't have them. You don't have them. And I said, David, I know they're still there. He said, you couldn't possibly. You've been born again, and immediately all your demon problems are taken care of. You've been baptized in the Spirit. That's taken care of everything. You have no demonic problems. You just have fleshly problems. And bless her heart, she had been in a mess. Simply because, of course, she was loaded. We need to pray for David. He's a man of God. He's not our enemy. But he doesn't believe in deliverance. Our church is praying for him. Wouldn't it be great if the Holy Spirit would show him the truth about deliverance? Remember this. They believe in deliverance until you get saved. The moment you're saved, everything's fine. Had you ever thought about, I've dreamed about a network of deliverance centers across the nation. The Teen Challenge centers are all across the nation. All they need is just rehabilitation. A slight change, an expansion of their work, and we would have just what we need. Now, I don't think it's too much to loose spirits of wisdom and revelation on David Wilkerson. You may not agree with everything he says. I doubt if you would find any man you would. But he's a man of God. He's paid a tremendous price for what he's done for the Lord. He's made his mistakes. He'll make a great deal more. But he is a man of God, and if he was convinced that this is what God wanted, he would do something about it in spite of everything he did before. Nobody else thought they ought to go and do what he's done. And he did it. Why not pray for him? Be easier to reclaim him, get him turned, and get him to turn his whole organization into deliverance. Wouldn't that be great? We're praying for Jimmy Swaggart. He's a deadly foe of deliverance, too. But he has a large audience that believe in him, and he's a good man. He loves the Lord. I don't agree with everything he says. You know, everybody can't go right down the middle of the highway like I do. Some are over here, some over here. Now, seriously, Jimmy Swaggart is a man of God. He loves the Lord. He's proved this. You may not agree with everything he's doing, so what? But he is moving with the Lord. Why not claim him and loose the spirit of wisdom and revelation? That's what it takes. The Holy Spirit has to show you the truth of deliverance. Jim Baker is another deadly foe of deliverance. But he has the PTL Club, which has a great audience. How wonderful if the PTL Club would be wide open and open the way for deliverance. Pat Robertson already believes in deliverance and is moving cautiously into binding, loosing, and loosing spirits. Especially after he had a chance to talk to him in Virginia Beach. Keep praying. He's reading the books. I can pick up parts of them on the program. He's moving into binding and loosing deeper than he ever did. And so is his assistant. They're moving cautiously. They have to know from the Lord that it's true. They also have to be willing to pay a tremendous price. When the delicate ones withdraw their financial support because they don't like nasty things like that. Just my going to Virginia Beach caused an upset. One lady wrote a letter and said, "I heard that terrible man Worley was in the area. Surely Pat's not going to put him on the 700 Club. I'd have to withdraw my support." I thought it was nice she noticed me. But seriously, we're praying for men of God who are in positions of leadership that God will show them. We're not trying to pull them down. We just want the Lord to expand their vision. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to move in truth. And I know that deliverance is a part of His truth. It's been hidden. Cleverly hidden by many to this day. But we need voices all over the country to begin to trumpet forth the truth of deliverance. Now, the demons have to have a legal right to attack you. This can come through inheritance. There's not a whole lot you can do about your inheritance. I mean, if you got a long nose like your mama, you inherited that. That's an inherited characteristic. Now, you might go to Dr. Haggard. Now, he didn't tell you this, but he doesn't have any sense. Did you know that? I'll tell you now that he's gone. Sense. I'm always telling him that. He calls me and tells me some of the wildest things. You didn't hear any wild stuff here. Like he and his bunch do. He gets all the basket cases. And he'll call me and I say, "Don't bring them up here. You go ahead." He said, "Well, I thought we'd bring him up there." He sends them to Lake Hamilton. Now, but seriously, they have seen some stupendous things happen. I was hoping he'd tell you about this. I don't think he did. Hope he didn't tell you before I got here. But at any rate, one time he called me up and he said, "Wynn, can I just call to encourage you and tell you that deliverance is going to go across the nation?" You know, that sound kind of like it? And he said, "Just like God showed you." He said, "We had a real good meeting last night." I said, "You did? Oh, that's good." And he told me about some healings. He said, "That was a 17-year-old boy that came." I said, "That poor little fellow," said, "he's the ugliest human I think I ever saw." Said his chin stuck way out and his nose stuck way out and they almost met. Said he was really a grotesque looking boy. Said we started delivering him of rebellion, and said when we did, said his chin went back into place. And then said then his nose really stuck out. And said, so we just shortened it. I said, Marcus, you can't do that. He said, I know it, but we did. He said, he's a pretty nice looking boy now. I thought you'd enjoy that. But back to this business about inherited things. You can inherit demons. We've talked about those that are inherited. For instance, there are many demons that come in at the moment of conception. It does make a difference how a child is conceived and why. Demonic powers will jump on board and hitchhike. And they can cause misery throughout the life. And this is very, very serious. Curses, of course, carry open doors for demons. Now, one of the blessed things is you can break the power of inherited demons. Believers, I hope you've learned in these days, if you didn't know it before, of the tremendous authority and power that the believer has to change everything. We can change the course of evil. We can break the powers of darkness. We can turn about that which Satan has already put into progress. Now, some people say, well, you know, do the demons know everything? No, they don't, but they know a great deal more than we. For instance, there are two ways they know this. One is by supernatural knowledge. By supernatural knowledge, the devil and his demons know more than we. They're able to communicate and carry this knowledge right straight to the lowest demon they can communicate, and he can come up with some stupendous knowledge that you and I don't have access to, just because they're supernatural creatures. However, that's limited. It's not unlimited as God is unlimited. There's another way that the demons are smart, and they use the law of probability. Now, you can do that. Insurance companies and others do that. They feed certain facts into a computer and project what will happen according to these facts, then what will happen in 20 years or something of this sort. And the devil uses the law of probability by feeding facts into that computer brain of his. He can project ahead what is very likely to happen, and it hits a lot of times. Now, the fun thing is that God's got a bunch of little mavericks down here running around called Christians. Some of them have gotten in tune with a strange message coming from heaven, and they've learned to pray on command. They've read some strange scriptures concerning the works of my hand command you me. They've read some scriptures, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And when they become aware of certain facts and certain things that are converging and certain things that are about to happen, like war, like collapse and things of this sort, some Christians have learned that if you group together and begin to pray, you can change what's happening. And the funny thing is, you know, the devil's got his tracks all laid out. And he tells his demons, now this is, by supernatural knowledge we know this much, by probability we know this much, and so put together this is what's going to happen. That's where the psychics get their knowledge. You know why they're wrong? There's a little variable factor in there. God's dear children. And if God moves in, he can lead a bunch of Christians, go right across that trail and just mess it up with prayer. I mean, just rake the whole thing. And the devil said, scrap everything, boys, back to the table. That bunch has done it again. We've got to reform all our plans, we've got all our troops set for this, and now those blankety-blank Christians have done it again. I think that's kind of neat, to mess up the devil's plans. Maybe you don't find that enjoyable. I do.
Amen.
By the way, I thoroughly enjoy what I'm doing. Demons tell me I hate you. I say, well, I don't really care for your bunch either. You know. Demons get to screaming and hollering. I say, well, let me help. Are you having trouble? They'll say, yes! And I said, well, let me help you. No! You never helped one of us in your life. Well, you know. Anyway, back to the idea of why demons can attack. Through inheritance they can attack. But we can undo that. We don't have to live under the power of what has come upon us because of the Father's sin. Don't go around saying, well, it's not fair. And poor me, because I had a disadvantage. Well, I'll tell you, a lot of great men and women have had disadvantages, and it brought out the best in them. And if it just makes you be a hand-wringer, it's you that's reacting wrong, not circumstances. If you'd been born in a millionaire's family, you'd probably be wringing your hands because you didn't know what to do with all your money. It's your reaction to what you have and what the circumstances are. You can inherit them, but you don't have to put up with that. If it's wrong, you can break it by the power of Jesus Christ. We have authority. Behold, I give you power, delegated authority, over all the power, delegated authority of the enemy. We have that. We've got a power of attorney. We've got to learn to use it. Now, you can demons can gain footholds by curses. We talked about the curse of illegitimacy. Curse of the bastard in Deuteronomy 23:2. The bastard is cursed to the 10th generation from the congregation of the righteous. Curses, the Lord seemed to be telling me the other day, are like, you know, over in Hebrews it says, lay aside every sin, or lay aside every weight and the sin that thus so easily besets us. I think some of those weights are some of these curses. They don't necessarily stop you, but they just weight you down and make you perform less well. And the more you have, the harder it's going to be for you to perform well in the race. Boy, wouldn't you like to lay aside some weights? Some of you did last night. Boy, I'll tell you, there was a lot of weights laid aside here. Some people didn't think anything happened, but today they found out something had. Some of them later on this week, it's going to dawn on them, wow, something did happen. You know? It's going to happen so sweet and so nice. They won't even realize it's happened until it's all over. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter how it happens, as long as it happens. Amen? Now, you can you get curses. Well, gypsy curses are real stinkers. If you came from Southern Europe, your ancestors, you can, a lot of times we trace gypsy curses back. Indian curses. The Indians sowed down the land with curses. They were demon worshippers. They hated the white man with good reason in many cases. And they cursed the land, they cursed the people. The black people were carried away forcibly from their land in Africa and made slaves in this country. They brought demon worship and voodoo with them and put curses on the entire Southland. Now don't get mad at them about it. I mean, what would you do if you'd been in their shoes? This was the only weapon they had. They brought their demon worshiping thing and they sowed down things. That's all right. Those can be handled. I haven't mentioned anything yet that's not handled, cannot be handled by the believer. You can break a curse. Jesus became a curse on the cross for us, blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, and that will break any curse if you will bring it against it. Amen. In the authority and name of Jesus Christ. The only people who can do this now are believers. Are you a believer? All right, then you have authority. You say, I never did do that. Well, that's all right. It's always the first time, you know. Once you get started, it's kind of like eating chocolate pie. It gets to be a habit. I mean, you'll just get where you enjoy doing it. Now, those are some areas the curses will... Oh, by the way, don't put curses on your kids. You know, the scripture says we're snared by our tongues, and boy, is that ever true. Embarrassingly so, huh? Did you ever say, shame on you? We found spirits of shame in people that were put on them when they were children. Their parent kept saying, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. One time they said, shame on you, and shame came in. And you know what? We found worry. Aren't you worried about your grades? Aren't you worried because your clothes are not clean? Aren't you worried because your little sister's sick? Aren't you worried? Pretty soon the kid thinks, well, I'm supposed to be worried. And you'll convince them. They'll open up me and we'll walk worry. And then they become the worrier. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, next time you run into one of those spirits, just ask it and see where it came from. The Bible is full of information about how these things work. Over in Missouri, when we were in a meeting, Herman Glenn came over and we're helping. And Irma and I were working one night with a lady. Had a spirit of mockery. We couldn't get it out. We bound it up You may have read about it in the paper. I think Irma wrote it up. And I'll mention it again to show you how the scriptures are packed with information. The next night, the same lady came back, and I was working with somebody else, but Irma got the same lady again. And again, the spirit of mockery came out. Well, if you've ever dealt with a spirit of mockery, they can kind of get on your nerve. They sit there and laugh at you. I mean, I like to laugh at the demons. I don't like them to sit and laugh at me, you know. Especially when they're laughing with good reason, because I can't find a handle to put on them. And mockery's good at that. Well, Irma was tired of this thing laughing at her, and she just sent a quick SOS to heaven. Lord, what is this thing? Where is this thing rooted? And, of course, the Lord, you know, is always on the job, always has the information. We're tuned in, and the Lord shot back the answer, wine is a mocker. That's Proverbs, that's scripture in Proverbs. Wine is a mocker. So Irma leaned over and she said, do you like to drink wine? The demon said, oh, yeah. And Irma closed in on it and said, all right, that wine drinking spirit brought in mockery and you're going to come out. Then the demon don't know how she knew that. But he had to come out. Wasn't that great? And she went on. She remembered the rest of the verse. Strong drink is raging. She said, all right, strong drink, you brought in rage. And it went, arr! She got that one out. There's more to that verse. It said, whosoever is deceived thereby, that's deception, is not wise, that's stupidity. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's wine drinking, mockery, strong drink, rage, deception, and stupidity. Now, if that doesn't sum up the drinking crowd, I don't know what it does. And you fool with the alcohol, that's what you'll end up with. You'll end up with that nice little cluster. Isn't that nice that the Holy Spirit put that in the Proverbs? Guess what? In the new book, we've gone through the whole book of Proverbs. After we found that out, Irma passed that on, began to research the book of Proverbs. It is packed with information on how these demons get in. Guess what? The love chapter in 1 Corinthians also gives the key to how a lot of demons get in. We've got a breakdown on that coming out in the new book. This book is just a treasure house. It's got so much information we've got to give ourselves to study to see how the demons, we're talking about how demons get an advantage on us. All right. There is, of course, habitual sin will open the door for evil spirits. You just keep on and on and on and on, and sooner or later, you'll get them. Of course, the occult, we mentioned that last night. I won't go into it in detail, but the occult will throw you wide open. The demonic invasion. Now, there's one area that I wanted to mention to you that I haven't mentioned recently at any rate. The Lord brought it to my mind just before the meeting. So somebody here must need it. It's a business of counselors. When you are in the occult, if you go into meditation or Ekankar, if you get involved in the occult, or even if you get into an occult religion, should I give them an illustration, Glenn? Such as the Roman Catholic religion. The Roman Catholic system is powered by black witchcraft. Now, that isn't a very popular statement. It's true, but it isn't very popular. You won't be in deliverance too long before you know that. My books, of all the books on the market, are the only ones which mention the spirits that come from the Catholic Church. There's a good reason for that. I published and edited my own books. No publisher could go through and cut out those parts which were scissored out of some of the other books for fear of offending somebody. I'm funny. It doesn't bother me to offend when it's true. People need to be told. You would not believe how many Roman Catholics have sought deliverance and been set free because of the testimonies in those books and the list in those books which include the occult spirits that come out of the Catholic Church. We're preparing an even bigger broadside for to be included in Annihilating the Host of Hell, the Battle Royal, the fourth book, which the demons say is the worst book of all. I consider that kind of a compliment. They've reviewed the first half of it that's already written. They've seen the notes on the rest of it, and they don't like it a particle. That means I must be doing something right. These occult counselors, you'll find this helpful because some of these are causing problems in your families, possibly, or even to you. When you are into occultism, especially into Ekankar, And I don't know how deeply you have to be involved, but anything occult, I would suspect there could be counselors there. These counselors stand to the right and to the left of the individual. They're spirits. They're demon spirits. They are assigned to them. Now, if you talk to somebody in Ekankar or Soul Travel Astral Projection, they will talk to you about their counselors. The famous psychologist, Jung, spelled J-U-N-G, had a familiar spirit, a counselor. He even gave him a name. The name escapes me now. And this counselor, a spirit counselor, he talks about, a spirit guide, gave him some of these fancy theories that are wrecking our schools and social systems. You heard Marcus say that psychiatrists always have a control spirit on the people they're working with. Now, these spirit guides, if you're into spiritualism, you'll have spirit guides. If you're into Ekankar, astral projection, you'll have these counselors, they're called. The counselors are there to tell you information. They give you information. Matter of fact, when you get into astral projection, I think Annihilating has a breakdown on this. I think we got it centered in and show you how this stupid stuff works. How you get these counselors. You can pick who you want to be a counselor. You can say, well, I'd like Einstein to be some dead person to be my counselor. And the demon will show up with all the trappings and give you advice and tell you real clever things that you didn't know. Because once you get them hooked on to you, oh, by the way, some preachers have these. Be careful about this. We believe in bringing angels into the battle. But don't get dependent on angel voices. There's quite a few on the other side. They haven't forgotten how to talk like angels of light. And you could get fooled. Stay on the main line with that's the bloodline in the name of Jesus to the Father. Then you'll be all right. If in doubt, check them out. These counselors stand on the right and left and they feed information to the individual. They're on the outside. But they're very powerful influences. Now, how did you find out about this? Well, rather interesting. We knew a lady who had once taught mind control. So she was aware of many of these things in the occult realm. She'd been saved. And we had somebody very close to us who was having a great deal of trouble. This young man was having a lot of trouble. Seemingly nothing was helping. We were up on the north side of Chicago visiting this particular lady, and we were talking about these problems, and I said to her, I said, take a look, she could see in the spirit realm, I said, take a look and see what you see around this particular young man. See if you see anything that might be causing his problem that we could pray against. She sat there a moment and she said, it's his counselors. I said, what in thunder is that? She said, well, hasn't he been in the occult? I said, yes. He was also in a church, not mine. And I said, and so she explained to us about these counselors. She said, there's one standing on either side, said they are feeding messages into his head. And they are confusing him. That's why he can't hold a job. That's why he goes this way and then that way, and he can't make up his mind, and he's just jumping from one place to the other. Said he's so confused. Because they're telling him this, and then they're telling this, and they're feeding confusing, conflicting things, and he doesn't even know that's what it is. I said, oh. Well, that was all new to me. Well, we had a long drive home, and I was driving along, and I got to thinking about those stinking things. And I was rolling it over in my mind, because this is all brand new stuff. And I thought, well, I guess she knows what she's talking about. I never heard tell of anything like that. But I just quietly, I said, Lord, I want you to send angels with chains. I want you to bind those two counselors and gag them. Well, I mean, they'd been talking to him. I gagged them. Now, this is a strange thing. We were driving home. It took us over an hour to get home. We walked in the house, and we weren't there but just a few minutes, and the phone rang. It was this lady we had just visited. She said, Pastor Worley. She said, I hate to bother you, but said, I just called. I said, well, we just got in. We hadn't gone to bed. She said, I just called because I just took another look at this young man, and said, something has happened to him. I said, oh? Now, she didn't know anything about what I'd done. She said, yes. He said, those two counselors are still there, But she said they look like mummies. They're all bound up, and they have sacks over their head. And she said he has already moved ahead of them about a half a step, and they're not able to move. They're bound. Do I have to draw you a picture? If in doubt, bind the counselors. Won't hurt anything. Might help a great deal. Amen? Now, if you're having particular problems with demons, let me mention this. I'm just going to make a sort of a mulligan stew out of this and throw in a bunch of extraneous information. It doesn't seem to fit particularly anywhere else. But this thought crossed my mind. Some of you may have become very discouraged because you've come for prayer for deliverance a number of times, and very little, if anything, seems to have happened. Of course, the first reaction is, well, maybe I don't have any demons, but then I still have these dreadful problems, you know. But if I have these demons and they don't budge, then how come? Well, there's a reason always. One reason may be to wipe out your pride.
Amen.
We had a lady come one time. I don't think she's here. But she came all the way to Chicago. She marched in, and on Thursday night, she stood up. She was just radiant. She announced to the whole congregation, she had come to get rid of all her demons, that the Lord had spoken to her and told her if she would come there, she'd get rid of all of them. I said, oh Lord, I hope she's right. Because she was loaded. And it sounded to me like she had a deceiving spirit that had built her confidence up way beyond what was actually going to happen. But I thought, when I think that, I think, well, that's probably just me. And I said, well, Lord, bless them. Thank God. I hope they're right, you know. But anyway, she stayed there, and so the workers went to work on her. Thursday night, nothing happened. Sunday morning, she came back. Fresh crew. We ran in a fresh crew, you know. And they worked on her. Nothing happened. But by Sunday night, she was getting kind of edgy and antsy. The Lord done told her that she was just going to go away from there practically with fluttering wings, you know. And here absolutely nothing happened. As a matter of fact, the lady that came with her got a tremendous amount of deliverance. Lord didn't tell her anything. She just came along, and she was getting all the deliverance, and the other gal got all the message, you know. Well, on Sunday night, she went through deliverance again, and nothing happened. Well, she was mad. She came marching up to me. She said, Pastor, and she started in. Those workers of yours just not doing the job. Now, she ought not do that. You can say a lot of ugly things about me, and I'll just smile at you, but she's talking about my workers. You're on dangerous territory. But my people pour out their lives to get people free, and they do a good job. They make mistakes, but usually they're small ones, and they got sense enough to go get some help, and they do. Get somebody else to come help and fix it. So I bristled up, and I said, whoa, back up, sis. Well, she didn't get delivered. And the Lord told her, and she went into this long discourse, you know. And I said, now just hold everything, sis. And I said, do you see what's going on over there? Well, it was kind of noisy. It was about a half hour after the invitation started, and it does get a little hairy along about that time. With 25 screaming demons going at the same time, usually it gets a little noisy, you know. And there was a bunch of them going. Several on the floor, you know, the normal, everyday type service. And the workers were busy working. I said, now look here, sis. I said, my workers, well, one thing, she is offended because I didn't do it. After all, I wrote the books. Well, I got news for you. My workers do exactly what I do. And very seldom. A lot of times they get better results than I do. I don't tell people that very often. Don't want to get out. I mean, I've had my workers come in behind me when I couldn't budge one, and they'd break it out. Kind of helps the preacher keep from getting wide between the ears. But seriously, I said, sis, you hear all this commotion going on here? You heard it this morning, you heard it Thursday night, same thing happened. I said, sis, these workers used exactly the same methods with you that they used on these people. You sat there and nothing happened. These people are screaming and jumping, and demons are coming out of them in all directions. Now, who do you reckon is at fault? The workers? I said, look, sis, I said, we don't claim perfection. We just know a few things that help people.
We use those. When we use those, we don't have anything else. We don't have any other tools in our bag. That's it. If yours don't respond to that, we'll be the first to tell you, well, we don't know what to do. We've done what we know to do. But I said it's working with about 99% of the people who've come. I said, who do you suppose? She said, you're making me feel condemned. I said, well, you're not going to stand there and condemn my workers, who obviously are succeeding with everybody but you. I said, you better get out and find out who was talking to you. She was so proud because the Lord told her. Bless her heart, she needed deliverance, but I don't think the Lord she thought she was talking to her was talking to her. I think she was running there prematurely before she was ripe, because the devil will do that. You know, he'll run you in before you're ready. So you'll say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Did you ever have a boil? Did you ever boil? How many of you had a boil? Good. I'm up north, you know, and people don't know what a boil is up there, I declare. So much they don't know. They don't even know about good food sometimes. But anyhow, if you ever had a boil or a rising, that thing, you know, when it swells up, you can pick the top off of it and you can mash on it and mash on it. My mama used to say it's not ripe yet. What she meant was it hadn't come to a place where it comes to a place where it gets ripe. It's really swelled up. It's really sore. You pick the, now, if you mash on it and pick on it ahead of time, all it does is get sore and bruised, but nothing comes out. But when she's ripe, you pick the top off of that thing, you mash it, and all that stuff comes right out. Guess what we found out? When the demons are ripe, you pick the top off and mash and... That's right. Maybe you're not ripe yet. Maybe you need to ask the Lord to ripen you a bit. But before you do that, maybe you should consider how he ripens people. It could be that you're not desperate enough. It could be that you made up your mind that you were going to do it this way. Once in a while, we have somebody march in, you know, and they start in deliverance. And I told you about the motor mouth. You ever run across the motor mouth spirit? That's what we call it. I don't know what his real name is. But somebody that can talk the horns off a billy goat. You know, I've had mine talked off. I've looked at people a lot of times and said, are you going to shut up and let me pray, or are you just going to keep rattling? And I did that one time here, Glenn. I didn't know whether you knew that or not. Some poor lady came all the way from New York, specifically to see me. And she nailed me. And then she started in. For 10 minutes, she ran the genealogy by me. After the first 3 sentences, I said, I know what we need to pray for. Because what she was saying, what the Holy Spirit was saying, gave me the key to what would help her. Well, I think you need to know this. I said, no, not really. Well, yep, 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 yep. And I said, but, yep, 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 yep. I said, but now let's stop and pray. Well, just a minute, I will tell you this. About 10 minutes later, I said, are you going to shut up or are you going to just keep talking? If you're going to talk and just go over and sit in the corner and talk. There's 20 people here waiting for prayer. I haven't got time to listen to you rattle. I said, I know what to pray for if you'll shut up. You say, well, you're rude. Well, it was rude of her. There were 20 people waiting patiently to get prayer. And here she was rattle-mouthing. And nothing she was telling me was of any value. Bless her heart. She came up to me over at New York, bless her heart, and she said, I was over in Arkansas. I said, oh, yes, I remember. I said, you wouldn't shut up. I finally prayed for it. Nothing happened. I knew it wouldn't. Because she was offended because I made her shut up. She still got her problems. She asked me what I pray for. I said, will you shut up? And she shut up. I prayed for her. My wife bumped into a lady in New York who came up to her. And she talked and she talked and she talked and she talked. And she called her on the phone the other day. Said, would you pray with me on the phone? My wife said, no, we don't pray with people on the phone. You say, you don't? No. I don't know what's going to happen on the other land. I don't want to run, jump out the window. You know that can happen? She said, well, why aren't you going to pray? She said, the time for you to got prayer was that night over in New York. You sat there and talked for 30 minutes. Wouldn't shut up. People, you've got to get on to business if you want to get help. Don't play tiddlywinks. I've learned to just get real plain with people. You say, well, I don't like you. Well, good. That'll be one less. Somebody else take your place, friend. There's no use beating around. But now, what good would it do for me to tell you, well, now, how sweet and nice. You go ahead and bend my ear for 30 minutes. It won't do any good, but I'll listen. Why not get down to cases and get to praying with the people who are ready? If you don't know what's bothering you, get to the root of it. Ask the Lord. You know, He'll tell you quicker than He will me. See, people have got an idea. Well, you know, I've got to get to Worley. He wrote that book, and that really stirred mine up. And if I can just get to him, that's not necessary. Any deliverance worker that's armed with truth can help you. And any deliverance worker's got half a lick of sense. If they get stuck, they'll call for help. One of the nice things about a deliverance church, it wipes out so much pride. I mean, because you fail. I mean, how would you like to be the pastor and be sitting there dealing with somebody, and a demon just sit there and look at you and say, I'm not coming out. And you say, what's your name? I'm not telling you. And you try everything you know, and it just still sits there and eyeballs you. And here some kid comes up, not dry behind the ears. 3 months ago he got saved, coming out the streets and drugs. He's standing there watching his pastor, because that's the hero, you know. And it'd be better for the pastor to be the hero than some of these thugs out on the street, wouldn't it? But anyway, he's standing there, you know, he's backing up the pastor, leans over and said, Pastor, it probably doesn't mean anything, but it just keeps going through my head, so-and-so. I mean, I feel like telling him, shut up. I'm the pastor. I'll get the discernment. Give me time, you know. No. What you do, you recognize what the Holy Spirit's done. He's passed the ball. I say, get him, son. Who, me? Oh, I can't do that. Yep, go ahead. Call it out. And he calls out that spirit. And that thing says, where'd you find out that? Boy, I'll tell you, his confidence grows. Don't you see what the Holy Spirit's done? He curbed the preacher's pride. Because what the preacher couldn't do with all his experience, the baby got. But the most important thing he did was that he encouraged the baby to know that the gifts would operate in and through him. And that he is an important part of that team to destroy the works of the enemy. Other workers may be more experienced, but he's part of the team too. The Lord is speaking through him also. What a blessing. And that's not a very popular doctrine either. You would not believe it. I've been a great big church. If I mentioned which one it was, you'd know which one it is. I'm not going to tell you. But it's a great big charismatic church. And I got flipped into the pulpit just by the act of God, really. The pastor, the Holy Spirit just spoke to him and said, put him in the pulpit. And he was surprised, and I was too, because I didn't know you knew I was there. Didn't know you even knew me. Called me out of the audience. And I got up and preached. And I'm telling you, those people took off. They were, praise the Lord, they broke into applause. They were shouting. I was just telling them, you know, just about ordinary everyday services. And how the enemy was on the run and being whipped and defeated, and the demons were screaming and running in every direction, and every believer could be a worker. Well, I noticed there was a couple of ladies, older ladies, and there were two or three older gentlemen, and everybody else was just laughing, and they were sitting there. And especially when I was coming down the line, and I was saying, every one of you can be a worker. Everyone can get in this ministry. Every believer. Jesus is calling for volunteers. Everybody can get into the fight. He gives on-the-job training. Well, I didn't know why they were so opposed to later. The man I was staying with told me, he said, well, if you wanted deliverance in our church, you had to go to Brother So-and-so or Sister So-and-so. And with great ceremony, they led you off into a back room. And if other believers said, could I go along and watch? Oh, no, it's so dangerous. It just takes, oh, my, you can stay here and pray. But no, it would be too dangerous for you to be present. You pray that we'll have the strength to do it. You know what I've done? I invaded their territory. I was telling all these wild-eyed Christians that they could do it too, and they were getting excited about it. I was giving away their exclusive ministry. They didn't have much, but I mean, what they thought they had a big one. And you know, they got mad at me, some of them, because I prayed till over after 1 o'clock, delivering people. Did you know it bothered me so much I stayed awake 30 seconds that night thinking about it? I really rolled it over a few times in my mind. It really distressed me. If I'd have had time, I'd have probably cried a little. But I was so busy rejoicing because the people got free and so many people got excited about Jesus and about His power and His authority and how every believer could have it. What a blessing. You know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's some demons came along here with you tonight. Brother Glenn said before the service, he said, "Glenn, I think you ought to just throw that net out again and see if we got anything in it." And you know, it's possible we missed a few of those fish last night. Most of you have already been through the renunciation, so you're all set. Some of you have been feeling pretty low today. Let's see what we've got in the net. Well, we'll see how much of this we need. Repeat after me for a minute. Let's just pave the way just a bit. We won't go through the whole thing. We'll just go through a piece of it here that I think will give us some groundwork. Father in heaven, I confess every contact that I have ever had with the occult to be sin, to be an abomination to you, and I claim forgiveness in Jesus' name. I confess all these things as sin and idolatry, and I renounce them in Jesus' name. I also renounce any oath that I may have made to any false gods, and I ask you to forgive me. I renounce Satan and all his works. I hate all his demons. I count them as my enemies. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I now close the door to all occult practices. And I command all related spirits to leave me now. I come to you, Lord Jesus, as my deliverer. You know all my problems, all the things that bind, torment, defile, and harass me. I now refuse to accept anything from Satan. And I loose myself from every dark spirit, from every evil influence, from every satanic bondage, from every spirit in me, which is not a spirit of God. I command all such spirits to leave me now. I confess that my body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. Redeemed, cleansed, sanctified, justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, Satan has no more place in me, no more power over me, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to bind up the powers of Satan, and I'm going to come directly against the families of spirits, as we did last night, and see what else we've got left here. When I do this, I'm going to ask you to just relax and breathe through your mouth. I want you to pray, but I don't want you to pray with your mouth. If an ambulance goes through town, you take all the traffic off the streets so it can get through easily. The word demon means spirit. The word spirit is the same as the word breath. Most of these spirits are going to come in and out through the breathing passages. We're going to clear the traffic off the street. That means I want you to move your praying from down here up into your head. I want you to pray. I don't want you to go passive on me now. I want you to be actively cooperating. I'm going to call the list. As I go down the list, all you have to do, don't stop and say, well, I don't think I have that. Just all you have to do is say, Father, if I have that thing, in Jesus' name, I want it out. You just keep agreeing with me. Because if two of you agree at touching any one thing, it'll be done, you see. If you agree with me that this thing has to come out, there's not much that the enemy can do except yield. Now, he'll put up a fight, but that's all right. And we'll see how many of these things we can get out. Okay? If you want to take part in it, well, you just relax and just get ready for him to leave. Amen? I'm going to take authority over Satan first. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I notify you that we bind you in all your powers. I'm coming against you with power from the third heaven, in the heavenlies, seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. I bind you. I bind every principality, every power, every throne, dominion, every world ruler. I bind every king, prince, every angelic power of darkness is subject because of power from the third heaven. You are bound, and every demon in this place is bound, and you must obey in Jesus' name. Father, I loose legions of angels to come and to quickly take away the evil spirits which will come out of the people. Take them to where Jesus sends them. Wherever Jesus wants them to go, that's fine. Just take them away. Get them out of here. And seal this place off in the name of Jesus Christ. Every demon in here, I'm putting you on notice. I'm coming against you with power from the third heaven. And there's nothing you can do. You must obey. For my authority is even higher than Satan's in Christ Jesus. I come against every spirit of laziness, self-hate, impatience, pride, irritation, ambition, loneliness, despair, suicide, death, confusion, rejection, depression, misery, torment, hopelessness, torture, doubt, unbelief, greediness, guilt, shame, condemnation, evil heart of unbelief. Come out of the people right now. Breathe them out hard, people. Three or four deep breaths. Let them go. Come out of there. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Move. Move quickly. Move out quickly and let the people go. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. In the mighty name of Jesus, move. Move out. Move out. Move out in the name of Jesus. Go. You loose the people and let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. You come out of the people right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. I break any curses that may have to do with giving you legal grounds or legal holds to operate in the people, to hold a place in their life, in their body, in their mind. I break every single curse that would give you this power. Curses of witchcraft. Curses of ancestral inheritance, I break those curses in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of Leviathan. I break all the family curses back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Leviathan, thou piercing serpent, I rebuke you and I command you to come out of the people right now. Move. Come out of them. Move. In Jesus' name, move. 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 Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Move. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you are defeated. By the blood of Jesus Christ, Leviathan, and all the spirits I have named, all the spirits who are in those families, move. Come out of the people now. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Loose them. Every spirit that I name and those in the families I name, leave and keep leaving in the name of Jesus. Spirits of the occult, Ouija board, sorcery, witchcraft control, automatic writing, handwriting analysis, fortune telling, astrology, horoscopes, witchcraft, hypnosis, ESP, levitation, clairvoyance, spirits of mediums, seances, charms, enchantments, curses, fetishes, Edgar Cayce, Gene Dixon, Eastern religions, transcendental meditation, yoga, karate, I Ching, Hare Krishna, Zen, astral projection, Ekankar, reincarnation, psychic heredity, mind control, rock music, water witching, Jezebel, Antichrist, power and strength, 666, spirits from the Freemasons, Eastern Star, spirits of Babylon, Charles Manson, come out now in Jesus' name, move. Spirits from Charles Manson, come out in Jesus' name. Move out of the people, let them go. Loose them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Loose them and let them go. Loose them. Every spirit of fear. Fear of giving and receiving love. Fear of death. Fear of pain. Fear of falling. Fear of the dark. Fear of dogs. Fear of cats. Fear of insects. Fear of crowds. Fear of man. Fear of the loss of salvation. Fear of nightmares. Fear of demons. Fear of the devil. Fears, every kind of fear, come out in Jesus' name. Move, come out of there in Jesus' name. Loose the people and let them go. Come out of there. Move, move, move. Every spirit of witchcraft, juju, black magic, every spirit of voodoo, move, come out of the people in Jesus' name. I break every curse of witchcraft. Move in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Water witching, loose them and let them go. Spirits of wrath, anger, temper, contention, fighting, murder, destruction, malice, envy, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, pride, hysteria, fits, convulsions, spirit of a broken heart, unforgiveness, schizophrenia, paranoia, wounded spirit, deep hurt, seething anger, rage, uncontrollable rage. Come out in Jesus' name. Move in Jesus' name. Spirits of deception, stupidity, inability to learn. Come out of the people now in Jesus' name. Move in Jesus' name. Profanity, blasphemy, filthy conversation, lying, gossip, slander, whining, complaining, self-pity, criticism, mockery, foolishness, ridicule, perversity. Come out of the people now in Jesus' name. Move. Breathe them out, people. Just breathe them out. Let them go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of addiction. Addiction to food. Gluttony. Addiction to nicotine. Addiction and craving for alcohol. Drugs. Marijuana. Acid. Speed. Diet pills, amphetamines, heroin, cocaine, Valium, tranquilizers, barbiturates, every form of drugs, every form of addiction. Come out. Addiction to food, addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs of all kinds. Come out in Jesus' name. I break the curses of lust back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. Asmodeus, I notify you and your whole lust family to leave in Jesus' name. I bind you to obey. Lust, masturbation, guilt, shame, condemnation, burning passion, adultery, fornication, immorality, sex perversion, oral sex, anal sex, sex with animals, incest, uncleanness, filth, sadism, masochism, frigidity, impotence, rape, filthy conversation, filthy dreams, pornography, profanity, homosexuality, cruelty, incubi, succubi, lasciviousness, lewdness, nudity, every spirit of lust and uncleanness, come out of the people, loose them and let them go. Come out of the sex organ, out of the intestines, out of the kidneys, out of the liver, out of the lips, the tongues, the taste buds, move. Come out of there, out of the throat. Move in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of deformity, infirmity, pain, arthritis, allergies of all kinds, every spirit of allergy, come out of the sinuses, out of the bronchial tubes, out of the breathing passages, out of the lungs, out of the bloodstream, out of the bone marrow. Allergies. I break the curse of allergies back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. Every spirit of allergies, hay fever, asthma, All of the allergy family, come out in Jesus' name. Move. Infection, cancer, tumor, ulcer, hemorrhoid, muscle spasm, drowning, asphyxiation, choking, smothering, fainting, suffering, swelling, cramps, fits, convulsions, epilepsy, heart failure, heart disease, heart attack, and the fear of all these, psoriasis, eczema, acne, warts, hernia, blindness, paralysis, astigmatism, and all kinds of trouble with the eyes, cataract, glaucoma, deafness, and all kinds of trouble with the ears, spirits of the bone breaker, the back breaker, spirits of traumatic shock and injury, come out in Jesus' name. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Come out of the people in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you, foul spirit. You loose the people now in Jesus' name and let them go. If you need someone to come and pray with you, raise your hand or come to the front, please.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.